Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It girls, we the ish girls. I got Jenny and Lindsay in this bitch, girl. Make you move your hips while sipping gin, girl. Make you bounce your tits like it's a jig, girl. Like boom, sip kombucha for your womb. Hannistein squad link up, it's like boom. The girls be giving you vibes. Tune in, chill out, and feel good inside. Like it girls.
Hey girls, welcome back to It Girls Podcast. This is Jenny.
This is Lindsay.
Hope you're all doing well on this fabulous Wednesday.
It looks beautiful, but it's freezing. It's so cold.
Baltic. I love the way we always open up the episode with like either
weather or month report.
Fucking gas girlies, but as we said last week, what else can you bloody do these days?
Literally.
If you are looking for something to do, some content to consume, you can go sign up to our Patreon. X-Gals is where we host all of our extra content. We do weekly episodes of the pod. We get on the juiciest guests, aka Julia Holbinol, Suzanne Jackson last week, which was fucking iconic. And it is where we're also going to be hosting our brand new live stream show starting this month. We are upping the ante. We're going to be bringing you some like frenemies realness, but with your two besties, Jenny and Lindsay.
Yes, exactly. We have a deadly neon sign for X-Gals, and Jenny has been, my tech queen, has been working behind the scenes to figure out, like, fingy crossies that it all works out. But we want to really just, like Jenny said, up the ante, kind of HD our live streams. We started them a year ago in lockdown for X-Gals, just as a way to kind of like connect with everyone because everyone was Zooming, and we've really enjoyed them, but we wanted to give it like an extra podcast, kind of like a looser content chit-chat hangout section that you can have on in the background, or you can like have dinner with and just watch your two fave gals.
Bit of a visual momo.
Visual moment, yes.
So yeah, come join us with that to obviously access that and to access all the other podcasts, all the past guests. Yes, you do get access to the entire catalogue. Go on patreon.com/itgalspodcast, €5 a month, girls, or €8 a month if you want triple X, which you get extra, extra sexy, cool content. So go check that out if you're looking for something extra.
You pay, the looser we get.
Subscription-based content. But yeah, we actually spilled a load of tea on OnlyFans and shit with Julia Holbinol.
Yes.
Two, 3 weeks ago.
We actually had two girl bosses when you think about it. So Julia Holbinol is very much a girl boss in that she was one of the first OnlyFans gals in Ireland that like kind of went public. Like she used her Instagram platform to promote it, and she's made bank and really has her head screwed on with in terms of business and stuff.
Funny girl as well. That was like, well, a lot of people wrote, they were like, she's gas.
I've always thought she's funny. A little bit of a troll, but that's like, she's doing it kind of purposefully.
Self-aware.
Yeah. And then Suzanne Jackson, I'm still like walking around and I'll remember something she said in that podcast. And I'm like, oh, that's so, like she really gave us like, just great. It was such an inspiring episode.
I think
that you can kind of use, and it was so resourceful.
100% resourceful. And also I found that like a lot of people were writing in saying like, which makes sense, because even when I started following Sue or became aware of her, say like a few years ago,
she
was already so big that she doesn't really talk on her stories a lot. She doesn't really, you know, I mean like,
well, unless she's talking about products.
Yeah, but I think this was a really nice place that you could actually get to know her personality, which is rare. So I think a lot of people love that. So as we said, go check it out if you want. This week we are taking a trip down memory lane. We got to thinking, because obviously the whole Y2K trend fashion wise, right, has been big, which I mean, it is a sign that you're generationed out. When the clothes that you wore as a teenager.
We are now officially old. That like, it's funny. But yeah, they are now, like what we used to wear is now a costume basically.
Literally a trend. They're like the Y2K trend. I'm like, oh, this is like how my mom used to feel when I'd be like, I'm wearing flares.
Yeah. And oh my gosh, yeah.
Do you remember? And like, I remember like everyone was wearing flares. My mom was like, we wouldn't wear them like that though. And I'm like, yeah, you did. And this is what I'm looking at with all the Gen Zers now wearing so Y2K true. Shit. I'm like, oh,
it wasn't
honey.
That deliberate.
Oh, honey, if only you knew how bad we all looked. We yeah. did not look this like cookie cool. What's that? Like, almighty.
Oh, almighty, yeah.
Shein.
Have you fucked with Shein?
Hell no.
No.
Sorry. It's Wish for clothes.
I know, same. It's not for me.
It's like Zaffle. It's basically, I would say it's like the same. All those websites are just like, you know, like Shein, Zaffle, all those kind of websites that use like Chinese kind mm-hmm. of big warehouses. Like they're all from the one warehouse. They just have different, you know what I mean?
It's just, yeah, it honestly triggers me because my friend Atain wrote to me the other week and was like, where does Sophie Murray put all her clothes? And I can't stop thinking about it. And any influencer that comes up who's like wears a lot of yeah. different clothes, I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm getting like claustrophobic thinking about like their wardrobes being like bursting every time they open them clothes in there. Like
mine's in bits.
Your wardrobe.
I just can't keep on top of it.
I mean,
I don't have that much wardrobe space.
So yeah, like, nor do I.
Literally at the moment, all my trousers are like folded and like stuffed. It actually gives me anxiety.
Oh, same. But like what since moving, I had to pare down loads. So that was good. Yeah. And I am just.
You still have stuff here though too, don't you?
Not really. I did get rid of a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you did. I have to really get, I'm going to do that. I have to.
But like any time I'm like, I kind of want to go on ASOS or kind of maybe an Urban Outfitters or whatever, I stop myself. I'm just not doing it anymore. I can't do it to myself. I'm only going to be really thinking about investing.
Yeah.
In clothing.
Thank you for my TED talk.
and that's my truth.
But no, for sure. I think I'm the same. I'm like, what? Especially, you know, not to go all locked in on you girls, but there's one thing this fucking year has taught me is like, I wear like max 5 things.
Oh, I know.
Like
I have a rotisserie wardrobe.
Yeah. And then I'm like, all these are the things that I look at and be like,
and I lose a lot of fucking clothes. I will buy like black tops.
I lose all my faves.
Yeah. And I have no black tops. And I'm constantly having black tops in my basket. They come, they deliver it. I love them. I wear them. They're gone.
Yeah.
Where are they? Yeah. Where is my black top?
And we will have a GoFundMe linked below for Lindsay's black top relief.
Thank you.
We need to find.
Black tops matter.
Oh,
but
God.
It's really hard to find a black top as well, you know, that isn't a piece of string.
Yeah, well, I always order them and then I'm like, oh, I'm far too large for this.
Oh, I hate that. It's like, oh, it's not a crop top, it's a bra.
That always happens to me. I'm like, oh, who would have thunk that the size 4 model looks different to me? That's funny. So yeah, we're talking about Y2K It Girls this month, or this week, should I say, because I feel like there's a lot of noise, okay, about the generic Paris, Kim, Britney, like these are the generic it girls of the 2000s that I think maybe the younger generation,
you
or
say
just
it girls is so weird. I'm like, but it's gals.
But you know what I mean? Like, so I think that they are the ones who get all the, not even just the younger generation. I think like just in pop culture, people only talk about like, and obviously Paris and Nicole and all were huge, but
even in terms of like Paris, you don't actually hear or see a lot of Nicole. It's Paris yeah. on all those like, you know, nostalgia Instagrams or like.
Because she was kind of more aesthetic, I guess, or she kind of.
She was kind of the prototype.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I feel like for two girls, right? Two gals, if you will. I always lull when I call myself a girl on this podcast. I was like, some girl. I'm like, I'm a full ass woman.
I'm an OAP.
I'm a woman.
I'm a woman. I'm not afraid.
Excuse me, I'm a woman. But for two women who grew up in that time, okay, and we were at the peak age of like our brain being infiltrated by yeah. these it girls, I feel like there were so many that were overlooked, so many that you would find niche runs of. We're going to dissect a few, but let's first maybe talk about like what actually constituted an it girl in the early 2000s. I feel like there were so many different archetypes, there were so many looks, and just even talking about how they were like portrayed in the paparazzi, everything else.
Well, if we think about it, So in the kind of late 90s, and like the 90s was so the heyday of the like supermodel, and they were the it girls, you know, Kate Moss, Naomi Campbell, Cindy Crawford. They were like on the covers of magazines. They were like hanging out at clubs with a cigarette and a drink. They were having these high profile relationships. We sought after their clothing, like the model day off, like seeing Kate Moss kind of to and fro JFK wearing like her little outfits, and then on the red carpet with Johnny Depp. And then there was like the turnover, the crossover of like models. It was kind of like anyone could be a model, because people like Paris Hilton and even Nicole Richie ended up on the runway.
Because like that was a big thing, that the 90s was like the last age of the supermodel.
As with models just being models.
Yeah, they're claiming that's come back now. Well, I mean,
it's not.
I think I have that in our little calendar. We'll do an episode on that. I think the you know, the model, the age of the supermodel versus now, very different.
No, no. Very when you're seeing like, I mean, you cannot open a magazine without seeing Gigi or Kendall or Zendaya is like, you know, I think she's working with Moschino or something. But like, they're not supermodels. They're actors.
They're rich kids.
Yeah, or they're actors. Like, I mean, well,
Gigi and Bella are models, but like, how do they get to be models?
Yeah, yeah.
Same with Kendall. She's a model, yeah. As in, like, that's probably how she makes most of her money. But like, she's also part of the Kardashian empire, so completely different. Yes, you know that
and
way.
And it's beneficial in the sense for the brand that she's working with. They're not just getting the face; they're also buying into her fame.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah. Anyway, but yeah, you're so right that like the death of the age of the supermodel then gave way to this kind of like new era of the it girl, like new era of like there was all of a sudden there was people like Paris or Nicole or whoever the hell, like even Kimberly Stewart, like Rod Stewart's daughter. That was another thing that I feel came out of the early 2000s, like the celebrity children. Like if you think
the
of
the coattails,
like, yeah, like Hiltons, right? So it's like a child who was like a rich kid who had kind of nothing really to do other than spend their parents' money, but they were surrounded by so many other famous people. That kind of gave rise to this new type of like socialite, you know, that way where they're like at all the right parties, they have the right clothes, and then with the storm of like the paparazzi, then kind of it was like a perfect storm of like putting them up on this pedestal for us all to like consume and like be obsessed with.
I think when, if you look at, you know, the models, so Kate Moss, and like I was saying, and these pictures came out of a lot of like behind the scenes kind of stuff. And like I was saying, like you'd see Kate Moss with a new boyfriend or like drinking and all these stories, and that made them like more hot property. Whereas prior, you know, before kind of paparazzi, the celebrity before, they had to have this pristine energy where nothing kind of could kind of muddy their image. But then with, you know, the likes of Kate Moss and Naomi hearing like, oh, she's a bitch or she's a diva or she's a fucking coke addict, that just like made them more alluring to the media. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of, you know, expanded their fame from this like notoriety. And then I think when you look at like the likes of Kimberly Stewart and Paris Hilton, they were able to kind of see the archetype of like, how did they get famous? Okay, yes, it was initially because Kate Moss was found at like, what, 17 or 16?
14, I think.
14.
She's so young.
JFK. And, you know, then, but like what really kind of made her famous was her outfits and her, the kind of, her celebrity boyfriends and
her cool girl factor. You know, that was a thing that like, I feel like a lot of the kind of Y2K it gals, like they latched on to like, okay, as you said, this archetype of fame. And like, it was this new, like there was something very authentic about like Kate Moss's level of cool. That's why she's still cool. Mm-hmm. You know, that way, like she genuinely is like a cool person. She has like, she's just so interesting.
She has
a natural
style.
Yeah.
You don't know much about her. She's
and
barely
dare
done
I say swag.
It's like, just, and also she's known for maintaining like relationships within the industry. So I think that benefited her in the sense of like, so then we saw like the kind of Y2K it gal be like, you know, I think Paris Hilton, for example, is one of the most famous because when you think she really was like tied to almost every other it girl, like Lindsay Lohan, Britney Spears, Kim
she was
Kardashian.
Like, she had a harem.
Yes, she did.
You know, that way. And she was kind of like, if there was like a Venn diagram of one, I'm seeing, you know, that meme of that guy being like, oh.
Yeah.
Like Paris Hilton kind of was at the epicenter of a lot of it. You know, that way she was a forerunner of it. And even when we watched that documentary, we did an episode on that with James last year. But when you watched that documentary, you kind of saw that that's how, when she got out of that school and stuff, she was kind of like, right, let's go. Like, let's have like, let's break away from my old life and like go partying. And like, she got really famous, and she
and
was
also, she was like obviously quite you know, it was premeditated, because like, as we saw from her YouTubes where she like puts on that weird accent, and it's not her accent, and she was kind of, you know, leaning into the whole like dumb blonde who just likes to party and spend her daddy's money. That was like very much like she was aware of that and purposefully doing that.
It's so funny, like the taste level, because I feel like there was still something endearing back then that there doesn't really exist about now, with like super, super rich people, especially like rich young people. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like there was this in like aspirational quality of someone like Paris Hilton, because I remember all of the headlines were always about like how she's going to inherit this huge empire. But I feel like now the people like, and it was the same with the Olsen twins. The Olsen twins were really famous because they were about to inherit Dreamstar, like that $1 billion production company their parents set up for them. Obviously the same. There was so many of these like Kim Kardashian as well, who were going to inherit all this money, and that was what made them so famous. But now I just don't see that being like something that people admire anymore. You know, like if you look at like even the Jenners and stuff, it's all about like making their own money. It's never this thing of like, we don't look at someone and are like, oh my God, they're going to inherit like 300 million. Woo! Like, let's make them famous of that. But that was a huge thing with Paris. I remember all of the, when she started to become big, and you even saw it in her documentary, there was like all these headlines who were like, you know, an heiress to the Hilton empire and all this kind of stuff. And it was like so intriguing to see her be like off the rails and partying while she was this heiress to this like pristine, like kind of name of a family in America, American culture, that was like so highly thought of, you know, that way.
I think that was very much kind of like the press and people like Paris were playing off each other, because, you know, I think that was intentional on the press's and the media's part to be like, this imbecile is going to make so much money, and look at her just pissing it away, not giving a fuck. She doesn't have to, because she knows that she's going to inherit this. And, you know, then she also kind of played into that by being like, you know, getting drunk all the time, being out and like being dumb and stupid and being like, what's money? I don't know, but I know I have it. And then we're seeing like, you know, the Kardashians claiming that they're workhorses, and they probably are. I'd say they do work a lot, but I think that will, like, we're still seeing like, you know, their stuff be berated, like whatever they put out.
I think it's kind of like a pre and post recession kind of ideology as well. Like, when you look at like, this was pre the crash, like in 2007, 2008. So there was just so much money around then. There wasn't this, like, especially in America, like there hadn't been a big depression since like the 20s. So I think people just were just like, more wealth, more wealth. But then when like so many people lost everything in the recession, which is why I'm thinking, like, when I went to college and I was coming into them being an adult, there kind of became this disdain for especially people who just like inherited and just came into wealth. And they're not as, if they are, like, I saw this fucking gas TikTok the other day, and it was some girl on looking up an indie artist and seeing that their mother and father's names are highlighted in blue. And she's like, oh no, not another one. And it's like, that's so true. Now you get these people that like become famous, and you Google them, and you're like, oh, hold on, their mom and dad were like fucking the Beatles manager. Like, what? It's now way more hidden. It's not as like, you know, I feel like people used to like flex upon that, you know, that whole thing of like, my parents are fucking rich, bitch.
And I kind of prefer that in a way.
Because, yeah, it's like, less, more honest.
And you're not going to, like, I don't think like Kylie or Kim or whatever will ever get what they're looking for, which is like the respect of being able to build up a business. Same with like Kendall, like being like, oh my God, crying when she got like the VS, when she, you know, was able to, and it's like, oh, come on. You're not like some poor little model from Czech Republic who's worked and is like, you know, oh my goodness, this is so amazing. I used to be like selling newspapers on the side of the road or whatever. You know, like, your mom has all the contacts in the world. You would have known from the get-go that was like a huge possibility. It's like,
she was basically,
it's like being Marty Whelan's daughter and being like, what? Oh my God. I can get a job in RT, yeah, like,
especially when it's like, when you look at Kendall Jenner, she was basically like modified by surgeons to be a Victoria's Secret angel. She was like something made out of a little pool of jeans where they're like, we finally have a tall daughter. I remember even in early episodes of the Kardashians, Kendall like always being like, I would love to walk, when she was like 13. She was like, I would love to walk in Victoria's Secret one day. Like Chris had her fucking claws in there early.
Yeah.
So let's think aesthetically, right? If we think back, how did you like absorb the aesthetics of Y2K It Girls and try emulate dress wise, you know, that way? Because I think now, as we said, people are dressing in a way that I'm like, I get the reference, but like it was way more lame.
Well, I think with anything that comes around the second time, it's just like the kind of, I don't think it was lame. I think it was just authentic. And I think that was the fun of it.
Well, you know, it was a lot more fun. It was way more it was adapted also when you think of it as teenagers. It wasn't adapted by like 23-year-olds, you know, that way.
Yeah. I mean, I first kind of got into, say, like fashion, you know, when like I'm even noticing it with Rilo now like wants to buy his favorite YouTubers merch. Buy our merch. But you know what I mean? Like he now is like, I want to wear that. And before, like he didn't care. Like I put him in it, you know, he just wanted comfortable clothes. Luna's always been quite like, you know, she cares about what she wears. She wants to wear what she wants to wear. But I only kind of came into clothing around the time of Spice Girls. And each Spice Girl obviously had their own style. So you kind of picked what one you were. And I was like, Scary Spice, so that's kind of when I started liking Leopard or kind of whatever, and also Baby Spice. I liked the like fluffy scrunchies and stuff like that. And I think we also saw that with the It Girl, where there was the kind of like preppy one, the goth one, or like Paris was kind of the sexy one who just, she was like a mermaid style, a sexy mermaid.
Yeah.
So there were all these different kind of ones that you like. So it was kind of, it was like, that was what was so great about the Spice Girls. It was like, what spice are you? What are you choosing? And you can even see that with like kids now. It's like, Rilo, I wonder what he's going to be. Is he going to be the kind of like North Face guy, or is he going to be a bit of a TikToker vibe?
Yeah, you're figuring out your own little style and how you want it. I guess it's a way of expressing your personality through clothes.
And what you're most drawn to. Are you drawn to kind of like the more gothic look? Or,
and how you want to present yourself. How you want other people to see you as, you know, that way.
It's like, what club do you want to be in?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like say all the, like loads of the TikTokers are so like, fuck off everyone, I have cigarette earrings, you know.
So true. Or like they all have bleach bits in their hair
and those mullets.
Yeah, mullets and fucking front bleach bits and
big
like
baggy joggers with like neon shit all over them and mad stuff. They're wearing mad stuff.
What little archetype did you want to always portray as? I was a hardcore. I remember like I never related to like the Paris Hilton-y pink kind of aesthetic. That wasn't, I remember when I was younger, when I was a teenager, especially like say 2003 or 4, 13, 14, just, you know, first year, second year of school. That was not, at first of all, it wasn't really accessible because they were wearing fucking Louis Vuitton bags. Now I do remember when I was like 15, my friend Maria and I, we did become obsessed with those multicolored Louis Vuittons. I mean, who wasn't?
I mean, and
fucking
they're
bags.
Still so cool.
They're still so cool. But like, I just remember being like, we were like, okay, we need to get a job because we were both like, we need to get one of them. And I remember we looked up, I mean, who knows even if it was
Prime Thomas,
how much it was. And we like applied for jobs in Spar. And our job, like our full thought process was like, we're going to work for an entire summer and rock into fourth year school, both of us with a little nano like pochette Louis Vuitton, the cheapest one, like
the little mini one.
Hey boys, you know, just the little flat one, like the little shoulder bag.
And they're just
cute
like
as fuck.
Right, like you can barely see the thing under your armpit. It's just collecting sweat under your armpit.
And like nothing in it. Like, I mean, not that we had anything to put in it, like a house key and like my locker key. I don't know. But like we were fully forging, I'm pretty sure, ID could to say that we were 16 so we could work. Like we were I was trying to fucking like, I don't even know how. I was trying to Photoshop my passport a certain way. I was like, I need.
Oh, I think I remember stuff like you could tip X out the date on the passport.
Yeah, you'd like, because if they'd ask for ID, you could just give them a photocopy, I guess, of your thing. Mm. So that was the only time I got really into the Paris thing. But I remember when when like Avril Lavigne came out, I was like, shit. I was like, I found my vibe. Like,
I found my girl.
I found my girl, Avril Lavigne, and then like Ashley Simpson.
For me, it was Ashley Simpson. So I like clearly remember. So like around, say when Ashley Simpson came out, that was like a change. So the thing about like Paris Hilton, like you're saying, her stuff wasn't accessible. Mm-hmm. First of all, because she was wearing tiny string tops, and tiny little raras. She was so dark. Her skin was like sunbedded, tough fuck.
Yeah, she was like ardent.
And she was blonde. And it was just like, I thought she looked amazing, but she's it was so hard to emulate her style because she was just like so her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was so American.
Like, yeah, it wouldn't have worked with a like Irish girl.
Like the accents, like what did we have then? Miss Moneypenny Dunn's.
Tammy. I remember going to the Northern Ireland and going to Tammy and like being like dying over like a fleece hoodie that had like a little plastic heart that you could kind of squish glitter.
Oh, God. I was like, oh, please, oh, do you remember
let me have it.
Japan?
Japan was so good.
In Donnamee shopping center.
I shop there now. They had like these like spandexy kind of dresses.
They had some of that kind of like Paris Hilton looking stuff, like with, you know, like those tops with like keyholes and like lace up kind of thing. But like I was
barely
also
their dresses.
Yeah, but I was so underdeveloped until I was like 16. That, I just like, it literally would have looked borderline inappropriate if I was bopping around.
I just wouldn't have been allowed. Like if I came home and it was like,
fit me.
I'm off, mum. She would have been like, what?
I'm sorry, what? What did you, out of the Ashley Simpson look, what did you like the most?
See, I think she was, so we had Paris. Nicole was dressed, she was more rocker, like she had the kind of, but she just wasn't as pushed to the front in terms of style. She was always secondary to Paris. And then obviously Jessica Simpson is similar enough to like Paris. They were both blonde, bombshells. Mm-hmm. Jessica, her style was
never
really,
style.
No, it was, she was just kind of like wholesome girl, yeah, you know, yeah, she was. She's very that like aesthetic. And then when her sister came,
oh shit,
I was like, wow. She brought in the side fringe, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, she was a very early adopter.
And I remember like, because I have a cow's lick, I couldn't have a side fringe. So I just like would move, like swoosh half of my hair and pin it with a bobby pin.
Yeah.
And I was like, dear God, I look so different and I'm obsessed with this. Like finding out this was like, whoa, I can change my style like that. But then like if the wind billowed, it looked like a toupee. So I had to like. But when she came around, me and my sisters were like, fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
Fucking rock and roll, man. It's called rock and fucking
now
roll.
This is what I'm talking about.
I bet you guys also liked her because she was like Christian.
Yeah.
And rock and roll. So she that was like the perfect thing for your mum to be like, see, mom?
And she was kind of like, I'm a tomboy. I don't like to wear fucking skirts.
Yeah, she's like, I'm so fucking different to my sister. She was actually like a pick me to her sister. She's like, so I'm not like the other Simpsons.
Yeah.
Like, when I think of Ashley Simpson, I think of one thing and one thing only.
Okay.
Green Converse. Everyone got those green Converse and they were the chicest fucking thing.
Oh my gosh.
I remember
sick.
My friend.
They were like emerald green, right?
Emerald green low top, I'm pretty sure. I remember my friend Anya got
them. I'm sorry, I do not fucks with a low top.
No, not anymore. Fuck no. But back then, I'm sorry. That's just, facts are facts.
They're
and
like
they were
clown
cool.
shoes.
They're like bowling shoes. I remember the Krusty the Clown rocking in. But I remember my friend Anya, because Anya, my friend, shout out if you're listening, Anya, I think she does listen. She was hardcore obsessed with Ashley Simpson. Like I fully remember her coming up to me in the canteen with her Discman once being like, do you want to listen to Ashley Simpson's new song? And I was like, fuck yeah.
It's like,
I was like, hell yeah. But she had them. She walked into school one day.
No way.
Wearing green Converse. And we were like, oh my God, that is the coolest fucking thing.
Because you'd never think of it. Do you know, I remember buying my first pair of Converse and instantly regretting.
Me too, I got the wrong ones.
I got these ones. They were like a collab with some like.
Always that.
They were like beige high tops. But they had some weird like graffiti vibe. Like, I don't know what the fuck, but they were like too extra.
Do you know what my ones were? So I got Converse after months of begging. I ended up getting the navy ones. Now, a classic in hindsight. Nice. But I remember at the time, like, this was more I'm coming into Strokes era.
I really wanted
the black or the red. And like, oh, my friends are the black. I was like, why did I get this? And my dad was like, no, they're the coolest. But then I got, no. Yes, I have always been an accepting queen. I went into Asha and bought rainbow flag laces. Okay. Big, thick. That was the cool thing to do. Like, swap out the skinny laces, get yourself a fat lace. And yes, it was a rainbow pride flag.
How extra.
Bopping around with that and then putting like plasters on the top of them. Band-Aid from fucking Almost Famous.
Kate Hudson.
Me going out saying, I'm going to ride the band.
Yeah.
14.
But I remember Ashley Simpson. So she had, which we're going to hopefully do an episode on in the future, on this iconic piece of television, The Ashley Simpson Show. So obviously good. We had Newlyweds, which was Jessica Simpson and Nick Lachey. And
that was one of the first like reality shows, I think. Where they went into
great one.
That was right after The Osbournes. The Osbournes was like, I think, the original kind of MTV celeb vibe.
Yeah, we never really saw like a...
Into their home.
A home, yeah. And like, it was also known that like the other sister, Amy, wasn't a part of The Osbournes. Like she refused to be a part of it. She's never been seen barely. And I was always like, what the fuck? She's prettier than Kelly.
Yeah.
I was like, Kelly
remember that? Kelly's actually another one. Kelly was an it girl, a Y2K it girl.
Fully, yeah.
She was in this crew. Her and Avril Lavigne would hang out, man.
Yeah, they would. They went with that iconic photo of them at the red carpet when, like, I think Avril is just like flipping the bird.
Flipping the bird?
What is it? Kelly's wearing a top that says like young, willing and eager or something insane.
And like three belts, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. This was like very, very early emo.
Yeah.
Very early emo. And she was like, yeah, my dad's like rock and roll royalty. She had this half American, half English accent.
And she actually dipped her toe into the music industry. She came out with a few songs. There was one.
A few bangers.
The one with her and her dad. I can't, it was a slow one. I was brought to tears.
I like Kelly Osbourne. I think she's cool.
Yeah, she is. She's been through a lot.
She has.
She has. And she was friends with Amy Winehouse, so I appreciate that.
Oh, she was. I forgot about that.
I say Sharon loved her.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Sharon.
And Sharon has come out fighting for Piers Morgan, and I also appreciate that.
Sharon's a legend. I fucking stan Sharon Osbourne. She is so cool.
So cool. Always able to meet her surge and all. Fair play.
Married for years.
Looks great.
Brilliant.
But what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Ashley Simpson Show. So she came out, obviously, and it was just such, like, the fucking funniest thing when you're looking back. Like, I think her album was called Autobiography.
Yeah, I'll fact check it. Go on.
And... So right the start on. Of the show, the Ashley Simpson Show, was like, I got stains on my t-shirt and I'm already hurt.
Autobiography.
Yes.
She's looking great.
Yeah, she's looking great. She's now married to Diana Ross's son.
Now, I do hate so that random. Again. You know, girls, I am anti- nose job. I loved her nose.
Oh, I know.
I was annoyed
when
she got the nose job because it really like, made her look, and I love
in my opinion
that
ruined her because she was so like everything, fuck surgery. I'm not like the other girls.
She
like
does look like and she does just look like a generic.
And then she was like,
bitch.
Oh, but secretly I'm all insecure and I don't owe myself.
Like I feel bad for her, obviously, but like I mean, if that's what happened, but God, she's 1984. Jeez, I always thought she was about the same age as me, but I guess that makes sense when I was like 14.
Yeah,
she wasn't 14.
But so like she came out and she had that album and like all the pieces of me. I remember me and my sisters bought that album and we played it till that shit was
cracked. Didn't you say your mom was like, I can't listen to that album
it was
anymore.
it was the only album that we've ever brought into the home that she was like, please, that woman cannot sing, it's off. Like my mom would never,
because she was like a very early, like she was, you know, one of these vocal fry.
Yeah, yeah. She was like, that was not her voice. In no way was that her voice. And I think now she's come out and she's done a few songs. Who's her husband called?
Evan
Ross.
Something like that, yeah.
And they randomly, like,
a show or an act, right?
They had a show. I think they came out with a few songs. Like, they are
Ashley and Evan.
Yeah, I watched a bit of it and it was so shit.
She married Pete Wentz. I did not know that.
Did you not know that? They have a kid together.
Oh, fair play. Oh, yeah, I do remember this actually now. I do, because they were very cool vibe.
So I remember like this scene in that show where like she was like moving or something. She was moving apartments or moving condos and like going through packing up her shit, and like she opened and like her and her crazy friends, and they were like sipping soda and like just being so fucking weird and bored about of doing this moving shit. And like she opened one drawer and she was like, oh, my God. It's the lyrics to Autobiography.
I remember that.
And it was like these penned on this lined paper. And she was like, fuck, I have to keep that.
I remember that song she did with Jessica. Didn't they do a performance together? And she was like, I can't believe I'm performing with my sister. Our voices are so fucking different.
Oh my.
And they did like a Christian song, I'm pretty sure.
I remember.
It was like, Father, open your hands.
Did they? Yeah. I can't remember that.
I think it's on like, it might have been on the show, but it was on a show, like some sort of, it was a backstage moment.
I specifically remember, when she was performing her album to like her close friends and family for the first time. And she was like, I'm really nervous about singing this song. Cause it was about like living in the shadow of someone else's dream. And like Jessica Simpson was out there
so
like,
so awkward.
Thanks, bitch. And
wasn't Jessica Simpson really close to her dad? Like the dad was like obsessed with Jessica Simpson.
I'm yeah, because sure, like right? She's the blonde, like she was like coming out but with
she,
the country
and she
shit.
Has that big belt or of a voice.
Yeah.
Like her voice is actually
well, I think
incredible.
Like a lot of their whole life as kids was like, you know, stage momming Jessica Simpson. And the dad is now like fully a gay man, but doesn't admit
it. That is crazy. It's
like, I think she spoke about it actually. That could be, let us know if you want us to read Jessica Simpson's
Everyone
book.
Says unreal. Yeah, we should read it.
Because she comes out and like talks about like the whole like Nick Lachey when he like, when they separated, he like got with his now wife like very soon after quite publicly. And she writes in the book like, did all those words of love mean nothing to you?
And what's going viral on TikTok at the moment is that picture of Jessica Simpson when she put on like maybe half a kilo. And was like still a size 8 to 10, and the whole press went insane, being like, "She's obese!" And she was like,
"Yeah."
And like, it's going like viral on TikTok. They're like, they're just all saying like, "Remember when the narrative about her body type here was that she was obese?" That's if you look scary. At her, she's literally like a size 10.
And because she fluctuated like every fucking woman does, especially like since having kids, her like boobs got really big, and
they all compared her because I remember in her show, Jessica Simpson's show, wasn't it in Newlyweds as well, where she. She like she showed herself training loads for that Daisy Dukes performance, and she got really,
that was a movie with like Johnny Knoxville, wasn't it?
And she got so tiny for it, but like I remember her being like, I'm like, it was like a thing, but they always compared her to that skinny body that she like openly trained for, dieted. Like I remember reading in a magazine once, and it was like Jessica's diet for this thing. It was like 3 grapes for breakfast, a black coffee. Like it was when they put those diets in magazines.
We need to talk about that. But when you look at to finish on The Simpsons, we will do a deep dive. I think we should do a deep dive on The Simpsons for an episode if we read Jessica's book. Because if you look at now how they've like transformed, they've kind of transformed into each other. Because like Jessica Simpson had troubles with alcohol. So I think she speaks about that in her book. And like Ashley Simpson has gotten very like,
she's very normal
mom
girl.
Like she's slightly boho, but that's about the kind of, you know, like
she's not rock and roll anymore.
No.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Remember when everyone who loved Avril Lavigne wore ties over their t-shirts?
Oh my gosh, yes.
I had a girl in my year.
I had a Diamante one.
Did you? I never got a tie and I was so annoyed, but I remember there was a girl in my year. You know when like there's one girl in your year that gets so obsessed with someone? Like they're just like next level. She was so obsessed with Avril Lavigne. Every day she'd wear a Maltesers t-shirt and her boyfriend's tie.
A Maltesers?
It was a t-shirt with the Maltesers. The like food. As in a red t-shirt. It looked like the packaging of Maltesers.
Wow.
I don't, oh no, I think it said man teaser. It did?
No.
I'm pretty sure it was from like Sust or one of those shops.
Man teaser.
And then her boyfriend's tie, he went to like the boys' school down the road.
Oh like, my gosh, flex.
That was like fucking flex as fuck.
I remember like it was prior to Avril Lavigne coming on the scene, it was so uncool to wear a tie. It was like, not cool at all for girls to wear a tie. You'd be getting given out to us like, fuck off, ew, gross, I'm not a boy. And then as soon as Avril Lavigne, you'd wear your tie over your jumper. And you'd do it like mini. Like there was a way to do the tie. So it was like just like about 6 inches.
So
you'd have to tuck the long part into the shirt and you just have this mini little tie. And it'd be kind of like cocked to the side.
So while we're on the topic of like reality shows, right? So let's talk about some other like it girls-y kind of shows, not even dissecting the show themselves, but just the things that they would show. So automatically I'm thinking Pretty Wild with the Nair's sisters.
Which is pretty unknown. Now you, I kind of came about that only a year ago, I think, when there was like this is, it's kind of like similar to Tumblr on those Instagram accounts where you like, you'll see a screen grab of something
that's clearly
from a reality show with like a hilarious subtitle on and you're like, what the fuck is that? And I think I showed it to you and you were like, that show was
insane. I watched that show when it was on TV.
And I never knew of it.
Yeah.
What was it on? Do you remember what channel?
Probably was it MTV or E maybe?
It could have been E. Because I would have watched it if it was on MTV. Because I watched literally every show.
It was on E. And it would have been out like around 2007, 8 maybe. I think it was recorded in 2006.
So who were they?
They're like the Nair's sisters, but they got famous because Alexis Nair's was involved in that Bling Ring.
Yeah.
The robbery of like Lindsay Lohan's home. And then there was a film made about it. So it kind of got another revamp after that. But it basically, like, the girls were like, their mom and dad were like kind of setting them up to be kind of basically it girls, to be honest. Yeah. They signed off this show and then the show went so big because it literally kicked off when Alexis was getting like arrested for this. She ended up getting addicted to heroin. Mm. It was so crazy. And then, of course, again, something that we have yet to acknowledge, Ryan Cabrera.
Yeah. Okay.
Ryan Cabrera was in another show that we can talk about now, The Hills, going out with Audrey. Then he was in Audrina. Who at the hell am I? Someone screw on my
get
it
your
girl
facts
brain.
Right.
Fucking hell, there's a fact based pod. Audrey.
Sorry. It's so gas how Audrey and Audrina. Very similar, but
very different
person.
So he was going out with Audrina. Then he was going out with Alexis Nair's sister.
What's her name? She was so
Began with a T, I think. Tammy?
Maybe.
Or something like that.
No, she was cool. Like she was major kind of Ashley Simpson, Avril Lavigne vibe.
She was very Audrina.
That kind of, that like rockery, like could I own a Harley? Possibly. But I'm too drunk to fucking drive it. So I'm just going to get with a guy who has one.
Absolutely. Her name, Tess. Wasn't it?
Tess.
And Gabrielle was the younger sister.
She wasn't really in it too much.
Not too, she was quite young.
Yeah.
But Tess and Alexis were always like out partying together. And they were like a whole like 16, 17.
And they were out partying. Like they were out for days.
Yeah.
I remember the mom being like, where are you? They were like, fuck off. Like,
fuck off, mom. We're trying to be famous in LA. Like they were crazy. And that was a new kind of archetype as well of like it girl. Like they were rocker, but LA. And it was kind of tied into that whole like Cobra Sake aesthetic, which was this blog in the late or like the first decade of the 2000s that like categorized like crazy parties in LA.
Well, that's when it kind of transcended from like being able to like from like seeing it on like say Perez Hilton or, you know, from shows like MTV to actually being able to access like a website.
Yeah, this was like the precursor to like Instagram stories of seeing someone's night out. Like you'd go on cobrasnake.com and his name was Cobra Snake. He was like a photographer.
Has he been Me Too'd?
I don't know how if he hasn't. Because
literally,
this man was fucking hanging out with Corey Kennedy, iconic it girl of the 2000s. Look her up. She was so like 2000s-y looking.
You can't even describe.
Big eyes, like kind of vapid looking.
Yeah, but like pale skin, kind of like long, mousy hair.
Long brown, curly
but
hair.
Just kind of mousy. Like
she was gorgeous. But like she kind of, you know who she remind me of? Effie from Skins.
Oh yeah.
But she was like 16. And she was at all these parties. And I remember being so jealous because she was like only a year older than me. And I was like, how the fuck is she going out?
And we didn't know much about her.
No. Like there was rumors that she was a Kennedy, but she wasn't.
No, but she kind of like leaned into that because.
Yeah, they're like, how does she have money to do this? How is she getting invited to these parties? How is she like anything?
So that's kind of what happened with, if you're looking at the like transition from like Paris Hilton to then Ashley Simpson to then like Alexis Nars, where it's like everyone's like, you're kind of like, it's like now how influencers kind of seem to look at each other and try and like you know, you take something from, like, say, Rosie Connolly, or and you like mold it and change it and make it
absolutely
your own. Like, just we're trying to see, like, how did this person get successful? This mm-hmm. is what we see, like, the youth of today, shall we say?
Yeah, I think, like, the back then, I think the trickle down from the simple life gave way to Alexis Nyers, The Hills, because the simple life was like this reality TV. Even, you know, you could go further up the stream and go Osbourne's Show and Newlyweds and the Ashley Simpson Show. This ability to, the rise of reality TV definitely gave rise. Like, without all that, there wouldn't be, I don't think, influencers now, because this is what got people into, like, no longer did we care about, like, Paris Hilton's cover by Dave LaChapelle on Rolling Stone. That wasn't enough. We now wanted to know, like, what did they do? And then The Simple Life wasn't enough. And then we got a peek into, like, someone's house. And then that wasn't enough. And we wanted, like, Cobra Snake, where it was, like, the odd time there'd be celebrities hanging out with these normal people. And you're getting a glimpse into this, like, LA lifestyle. And then you get, like, fucking Pretty Wild, which is Pretty Wild. One season. I think it's on Hayu.
It is, yeah.
It's so fucking good. It is so chaotic. I really want to get Alexis Nyers in the podcast. She does podcasts. We've asked her. But, like, she has such a crazy story. Like, she got addicted to black tar heroin. And she was
her boyfriend. They were, like, living in a flipping crack den.
And she was living in it while filming the show.
And the show was, like, so weird.
Like, her mom is obsessed with The Secret. Another very early 2000s thing. Yes. That's why I cannot take it seriously when someone genuinely reads The Secret now. No offense, I know a lot of people do, but, like,
yeah, I know.
Whenever, because I grew up in that time where, like, The Secret was like
a religion.
Oh my god, yeah, it became like, it was like the new Kabbalah. Like, people were obsessed with The Secret, and, like, I just think of fucking Nancy Joe. Wasn't Nancy her mom? Or no, that was the woman from Vanity Fair. She rang. But I just think of their fucking mom. And I'm like, her mom would literally be like, we love The Secret. We've got Buddhas around the house for the positive energy, the positive affirmations, queen. I was like, her effect. Like, I know The Secret's the effect, but I'm pretty sure that show has given rise to so many influencers being like, girls, let's do the affirmations.
I know. Wouldn't she, like, they'd be in some kind of
they'd
circle.
Like, pray.
Yeah.
But, like, for affirmations, they'd be like, there is an abundance of positivity around us.
And that juxtaposed between her daughter going out and shooting up fucking heroin. Like, what are you manifesting here? Like,
she got an abundance, all right.
And she, but, like, for sure, we saw it. Like, we really just wanted to be like, this is, how do they live? Mm. How does it make, it doesn't make sense. It's like when you follow someone and you're like, how do they have so many clothes? How are they going on so many holidays? It doesn't make sense. And it's like, you don't even want it to make sense. You just want to see it. Maybe I will be able to pick up something for
it. Yeah, or it feels like it could be you next. Like, especially The Hills. That was a big one for me that I think I remember being like, you're telling me all these cool kids just got approached that they got on their own show. That's when it kind of got to this point of like, oh, I could be, like, the next, like, cool it girl who was approached to be on a show. And, like, me and my friends, cool fucking group of friends, are, like, categorized. Because that was, like, what was the first show called? Laguna Beach. Iconic. Yeah. And then they went into The Hills, which was, I mean, The Hills was just such a moment. I still watched that damn show when it came back last year. I was like, this show is fucking,
I couldn't
brilliant.
Find it annoyingly. But, like, I would totally rewatch The Hills. I loved how slow it was.
Oh,
it was
like, nothing happened.
It was like,
say, hey.
Really slowly chewing porridge. And it was just so slow. Nothing happened. I loved it.
It was so.
But if you look at all these shows, like The Osbournes, like there was constant, like, you know, a big part of the show was like Kelly's relationships and that kind of stuff and them going out. So that was the kind of pull. So it wasn't really the wealth or the money or the fashion. What was keeping us intrigued was the drama. Mm-hmm. Like, say, Paris Hilton, like, was she on drugs? What was she on? Who was she fighting with? Did Lindsay Lohan threaten to beat her up? And Alexis Nyers, it was like the drama. So that is kind of, I remember fully sitting with like my gal pals in school bitching about whatever girl that we had a problem with that week, being like, we could literally have our own show. No, we could literally have our, like, we need a show. We should, like, it would be huge because, like, everyone has fucking drama.
Of course, when you're a 16-year-old, your life is like built upon meaningless, petty drama. But it's like, you're like, we should make this a show. Like, let's, I mean, people.
Imagine if there was a camera there, like,
people,
on The Hills.
People would be obsessed. Another batch of it girls, right, if we're moving on from the reality show ones just to talk about for a while, are the child stars. Because the early 2000s, you know, where this is when we saw a lot of the Disney Club people, a lot of Nickelodeon stars come into their adulthood and come into their teen, like later teenage years. I'm thinking like Lindsay Lohan, the Olsen twins, Amanda Bynes. There's Ariana so Grande. Many.
Like, I mean, we're still seeing it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when you're like watching these people, like I remember watching Two of a Kind with Mary-Kate and Ashley, and like, you never think they're going to grow up.
It's so Mary-Kate and Ashley. I put up on Instagram, right, just to see if we're, you know, on the same level. I want to see what other people's favorite it girls were. So we talked about them, and someone wrote in being like, Mary-Kate and Ashley had all of us Y2K girls in a chokehold. And it's so fucking true. The power of those twins,
yeah,
for two girls who said nothing publicly. Really ever.
Yeah, they did that Oprah Winfrey interview, so, and that was so awkward. And it was in the middle of Mary-Kate's, like,
whatever.
We don't even know. No, we just saw her dramatically lose weight in these weird fucking photos of her at seshes. And then over. Never heard. Like
the Olsen twins, they have, remember that meme that was going around a few years ago where it was like the blah, blah, blah starter pack. The Olsen twins starter pack. Let's break it down.
Okay.
Parliament cigarettes.
Ugh.
That's
isn't
what
that like the strongest? They've
half a filter. I started smoking on them. My friend, Russian friend, mum, she'd rob them from her mum. Her mum would get crates in. They've half a white filter. They're so strong.
So do they just look chic that it's all white? Is that the point?
Well, all American smokes are all white, but yeah, it's just the filter is only half and then it's like a paper. So it's just really strong. Ugh. They're super strong. They had smoked them and they smoked Marlboro Reds.
Yeah, I dabbled in them for a while.
Me because
the
strokes.
Yeah.
And Kings of Leon smoked them.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, they were sick. You couldn't pay me. They would also have, I have a very strong image in my mind of the Olsen twins. And let me, if you know what I'm talking about here.
Talk to me.
A paparazzi picture. Mm-hmm. We're in New York. Mm-hmm. The Olsen twins have that huge Balenciaga bag, but they're holding all of their belongings in their hands.
They would hold phone.
A phone, a wallet, a key, and a pack of cigarettes, and a Starbucks, and a dog,
and a laptop,
and a laptop, and these huge glasses falling off their head,
their tiny bug head,
and their bag is full of shit. I'm like, whoa, you look homeless, but it's so cool.
I know.
They were like, they were
so
aesthetic.
Like on the go. Always my keys, my phone, everything needs to be in my hand at all times.
And they really, you know, they did something for that boho look of hair, like, because they for years obviously had to straighten their hair for that show, clearly, but then they had this whole,
their style in Two of a Kind was so fucking cool.
That, now that was my pinnacle of style when, like, I was like 12. I was like,
I just was like, how, for the love of God, how? I remember, like, I just remember their dressing gowns.
They would always have,
they
like,
had the best dressing gowns. They were like big fluffy fucking stunning things.
And their clothes were like, they always had these twin sets. They loved a twin set.
Like a little.
And there'd always be like a feather boa trimmed sleeve.
Yes. Like, yes. Constantly. Wandering around their house on a Tuesday.
They're like, Dad. And then, like, I would always be like, this is my child brain working overtime. I was like, how do they get their hair in such perfect twists with the butterfly clips,
I know,
by themselves? I'm like, but their dad is their dad. They don't have a mom in the show. I'm like, it's hair and makeup on. Welcome.
And it's, I remember they'd have like a crimped section, a straightened section. They'd have three
or
things
a curl.
Going on. Yeah.
A random three curls.
Random curl, two curls in the front, everything else straight.
They were also, I'm pretty sure they were responsible for the, tell me if you remember this. This is a very niche thing, but I'm pretty sure you would have had one. A colored hair extension bond. A single colored piece of hair.
Okay, yes.
Did you have one
then? I think I had like a clip that had a little bit of pink hair.
Me and my
it.
Cousin went to Donnamead Shopping Centre again. Shout out. And there was a hair, I think it was Claire's Accessories did them. And they would
Pride and Joy.
Pride and Joy!
Yeah, amazing shop. I think it's still there. And it was, that shop was so good. It had the glass outside that would had all like the kind of,
that was
display.
A toy shop though, right?
Yeah, yeah, but it also had like art shit and just like,
this was a hair thing. This was Claire's because it was someone who would put a bond in your hair.
Oh, okay.
So like you had, it was
so a like a braid.
No, it was a bond. Bonded extension.
I never had that.
Did you not? No. That was like the coolest fucking shit when I was like 11. Like, weird. And it was from two of a kind, because I'm pretty sure once they had like a streak here and a streak here, but no one could afford both of them. They were like €15 each. So like me and my auntie, you'd wear it in literally like, I had a pink one. And
so cool.
And then my cousin Katie got a purple one, but her hair was curly and the extension was straight.
That's so me. Poor me with my curly hair. We needed more curly hair representation.
Yes, but they did that, I think, later on in the years. Their hair was wild.
Oh yeah, wild.
It was like fucking mental.
But it looked fucking great because it was like half bleached, but like, so that kind of, that was very like Y2K it girl with this like fried hair, but it looked so good. I don't know how so they did it. Good. They made like fried raggedy hair look unreal.
It was that whole just out of bad luck. I remember my friend Devin said when he, I think it was when he moved to New York City first, and he was walking around Soho where their shop The Row is.
So is that, I can't believe it. I was only reading Harper's Bazaar the other day and
very highly acclaimed clothing.
The Row. I'm like, that can't, and I remembered that, but I'm like, surely it can't be. But it is.
No, yeah, that's them. They still have it. I don't think they have the shop anymore, but they sell online. And their shit's like very highly, like, it's people
in
love it.
It's in, like, you know the way with Vogue and every fucking, like, you know, luxury magazine.
There's
the Row. Same. Row, Moschino, Versace, like, it's the same shit every fucking one, Max Mara. Theirs is always there.
Oh, no, they have very good leather goods, apparently. It's mainly leather goods, I think.
And it's random.
They also had Elizabeth and James, which is named after Elizabeth Olsen yeah. and James, their brother.
Random that Elizabeth Olsen became famous. I feel like that's weird.
It is weird, but she's a very good actress.
She is, but I'm just like, do not forget that you were Mary-Kate and Ashley's sister.
Yeah, I know. I like it that we've got a bit of acting going on because the sisters went into fashion solely.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What was that other show? So it was the Two of a Kind, and then there was another one where
they had their movies.
Oh, good God. I remember going to see
the one
in Paris.
Oh, Paris was
I went
so
to see it in the cinema
good.
And fucking hell.
The Rome one, I remember being real jealous because they both went on holidays. Isn't that boyfriends?
They always had these like Italian boyfriends. And is that like, the one where she was on the back of the moped with a boyfriend?
Very like, you know, that Audrey Hepburn film in Rome. I'm pretty sure they just tried to emulate that for tweens.
And I remember it's like, oh my God, I never knew our granddad was so rich. The granddad literally has like a palace.
He lived in like an insane palace in the middle of Rome.
And they're like, oh my God.
Like, what the frick?
Oh my gosh, they were so cool. Their movies were like my fucking heroine.
They were just some of the, I mean, yeah, so my friend Devin said he was like walking around Soho and he went past the Row and his friend worked in like the Tom Brown store close by, I think. So he said he'd always be on this and he'd always hear from his friend, like you'd see them out for cigarette breaks every now and again. And then Devin said he was walking down and he was like, oh, and they were just both there. It's in like maybe 2010. So they were very quiet, but very chic and still very skinny. And
not that you can tell because they're so draped
I know,
in clothing.
So fascinating. And they said they were smoking and he tried to walk really slow so he could hear what they were talking about. And he just heard Mary-Kate going, she took a huge drag of her cigarette and was like, my new thing is... And then he walked by. He was like, oh, I never knew what our new thing was. But how them? How them to be standing beside you there saying, my new thing?
So them.
As?
I think they have actually maintained like very much like a private kind of life. Like, I mean, Ashley, was it Ashley?
Isn't she getting divorced now from Circle? Yeah. From your man?
Oh, that was odd. That was odd.
And wasn't there like during lockdown last year, there was like a picture released of their Zoom divorce hearings and they're like sitting on Zoom.
Really?
Getting divorced. Yeah. She's like she got kicked out of their apartment. He's like insanely rich.
Who is he?
He is, what the fuck's his name?
Because like
again?
For such a high profile relationship, it was relatively like...
He's like a hedge fund.
I remember there was like a meme or like a kind of a picture that went low-key viral of them at like a Lakers game or something. And it's her next to him and I think his daughter. And it's freaky.
Yeah.
As in like, it's like which one's
Oliver Sarkozy. Yeah. So a French banker, but he's related to Nicolas Sarkozy. So he was like president or something like that of France.
Who's that, Mary-Kate?
Her husband.
Yeah, because like we kind of saw Mary-Kate was the one who was like more, you know, troubled. It seemed like she dropped a serious amount of weight, like we saw, and that was when like their whole veneer of like these perfect girls, these like, you know, squeaky clean, you know, Nickelodeon stars who were just so gorgeous. Like I just remember being like, why can't
Amanda
I
Bynes.
Look like that?
Amanda Bynes, I was so fucking obsessed with her when I was younger. I loved that show.
That show was fucking hilarious.
Do you remember the website?
Yeah.
AmandaPlease.com.
Because like, on all the time.
Anyone else who is like our age will remember, like your mom would be like, do you want to go on the internet there for half an hour? And you'd be like, and you, I would literally sit at the internet and be like, God, what website do I want to go on? And I'd always go on AmandaPlease.com.
And it was fun.
Unbelievable.
There were so many games and stuff.
But like, and you're so right, Mary-Kate was like, you know, one of many of these child star it girls who then like, it seemed like they just started to collapse. Like if you look at like Amanda Bynes, Lindsay Lohan, Mary-Kate Olsen, all had eating disorders. Every single one of them. Especially Lindsay and Mary-Kate both got so
I don't know if Amanda
thin.
Bynes got super thin.
I think she said she had an eating disorder though when she was filming the show. Something like, I remember reading that. Like when she was very young.
Yeah.
You know, that
yeah,
way.
Yeah.
Like I think it was like, they've all basically come out. And like fucking Mary-Kate was like.
Mary-Kate was so, so skinny. And all these videos of, or photographs of her like, just at these weird parties. And especially for them being so private for so many years, seeing them like, I remember there was just weird, same with Lindsay Lohan, we saw those photos of her like with a blade randomly, like, you know, and just these like, they're in some weird like condo in like New York or in fucking LA and like, you know, partying with these other rich kids and they're all sweaty and you don't know where they are or what they're doing, but you know, it's not good.
And Mary-Kate also had like so many stints in like Betty Ford. Remember every few weeks it'd be like Mary-Kate admitted to Betty Ford Clinic and it was always like it would say it would be about drugs and an eating disorder, but they'd never. I mean, I guess, and that's the thing. It's like, why should she have to be like, I have an eating disorder, everybody, and a drug issue.
Yeah. And that's gone viral recently with the Oprah Winfrey.
Oh, yeah. Because she was like, what is it? Wasn't she? She's like, what is it? Drugs? Eating disorder? I've heard bulimia.
I think it was like, what weight are you?
Yeah. And they're literally like sat there like, but it is weird that they like, They look very strange now. Like as
they
in like
look
they
haunted.
Look haunt, that's what I mean. Like not even just like, you know, thinness or whatever. They just look like shook.
And I it's so weird because I remember watching them and imagining what they were going to look like and thinking like they are going to be so gorgeous when they're older. I can't wait. Like as a young kid watching them, wanting to be them and being like, they're going to be so amazing when they're older. Like they're going to, I just imagine them taller, but looking, because they were so like pristine with their little
so
hair, with their little outfits.
As well, aren't they?
So
they're
cute.
Like 5'1" or something.
Yeah.
They are like tiny.
So
tiny
just visually
women.
They've changed. Same with like Lindsay Lohan, but, and same with, who was the other, Amanda Bynes. Like Amanda Bynes, you know, like she had a good run for a while. Like she started obviously as the child star and then she went into like, what's that movie that she did? I think with Zac Efron, I think she did one.
Oh yeah, it was As Good As It Gets. Not As Good As It Gets. What's it called again? I'll look it up. Hang on.
She was like very much kind of, she was different looking, but like she was still very like American. She's the man.
And What a Girl Wants.
She was very American looking, like a great body, not super, super skinny, but like looked so wholesome, kind of like really healthy girl. And then we just saw like a major, she's probably one of the most, you know, damaged in the sense of like, you know, she, what we know of from her, that she really did have
like
a psychotic break and
stuff. She had a hugely, like probably since Britney, she's probably the most public kind of psychotic break, mental breakdown.
And unanswerable. And the kind of thing where you're like, same with Britney. I'm like, we're all people being like, free Britney or like whatever. It's like, I don't think these people can come back from that at all.
Well,
I don't think you
it's
can
not
rewind.
As simple as like, here's a cure, free her.
Yeah.
You know, because we don't know the depths of like the mental trauma that they went through. And then that just comes into like, when you look at like, for our generation to look back and reflect on, you know, I always just think, I'm like, what is the price you pay for like child stardom? Honestly, like, because if you look at the majority of people, even like Shirley Temple, like she came out when she was older and basically said that she was molested. Like, you know, you look at like the likes of Michael Jackson, who the bloody hell knew what went on there, abuse and abuser. And then, you know, there's so many instances of this, of like, I mean, Mary-Kate and Ashley were acting since they were 6 months old.
Like what? And like, but as a kid consuming this, you're seeing like their really cute house. I remember their cute bedroom in that two of a kind saying, you know, like, actually, do you know who seems to have come out of it kind of fine? Tia and Tamara.
I guess they never really launched into anything else much after Sister though, did they? Like they were
they're
never
still kind of on the scene. I think one of them was in a reality show, but like in terms of kind of like,
I love them
visibly, they didn't, you know, get on the party scene or drop a serious amount of weight. Like I remember, I think Mary-Kate and Nicole Richie were kind of friends and they had some kind of, it seemed almost like they were like, you know, probably like, you know, with all the pro Anna websites where they're probably like, you know, giving each other tips. I remember like that whole kind of thing was going around that Nicole Richie like had a joke that she was weighing everyone before they came into her birthday party and that Mary-Kate had like cigarettes in bowls as party favors. You know, these things.
Mary-Kate, she had a bowl of cigarettes at her wedding. At the centerpiece of her wedding table was bowls of Parliament cigarettes.
Like,
that's iconic. I mean, it's iconic It Girls vibe. Sorry,
it's iconic It Girls vibe for sure.
Like, if we're going to think of it in that world, you know, that way. But like, obviously,
it was so ridiculous
when you add everything else together.
Yeah,
it's like worrying.
Well, when you see like I said, like you look at Jessica Simpson and you thought like, oh wow, she's in this perfect relationship, her gorgeous house.
Interesting note here, just on your tea and tomato. Oh, after the show ended, both Mary and her sister studied psychology at university. So wow. They obviously went off the scene, went to university through psychology. So smart bitches, clearly.
Fair play.
And then they went back into some like voice acting. One of them actually did the voice of Sasha in Bratz.
No way.
Love that for her.
And now I think they have another, one of them had a reality show or something like where she was showcasing her pregnancy and stuff.
Yeah, but they did, but they never really like, although they were huge stars in, I mean, Nickelodeon, that show was massive. Fucking loved that show.
It was so good.
Bloody loved it.
Like, what an amazing concept.
I love you have the twin vibe.
Yeah, I love like, a twin vibe.
I used to always, I watched so many twin shows. I used to always dream I was a twin.
When and I was so jealous of my sisters. Oh, yeah, because they were twins. Actually were twins.
Yes.
But I was like, yeah.
Not
you
real
didn't
twins.
Find each other though when you're 15. Yeah. So not really.
You don't know.
I
you're
could
not,
still find mine.
You're not identical. So yeah, I always think that too. I'm like,
but when you
I
think
really
about
think
it,
one
the
there.
Whole idea of the twin kind of like very much like penetrates the child mind of like, you know, oh, life is so hard. If only I had a twin and a best friend who was alongside me, you know,
yeah,
the way.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
It's not really like that in reality.
So I guess like to end off, like how, one question I was thinking about when I was like researching on this episode is like, it's kind of funny how all of them, how they were portrayed in the media. I don't think that would, I mean, is, maybe I'm completely wrong. What do you think in the paparazzi, would like that behavior of all of them, like the partying, the drugs, the eating disorders, all of the speculation, the, you know, the stuff about their personal life, Alexis Nyers, like all that legal stuff. Do you think that would happen now with someone like, or that they'd get to this level of fame? Or would it just be like a case of like almost like the M50 girl who's just like thought of as like disgrace and terrible, you know, that way? Like, I feel like back then, that kind of controversy and that kind of like chaotic behavior was so like not celebrated, but as you said, used by the paparazzi, and they kind of fed into it as well. It's like, it's funny. It seemed to kind of be very much of that time, because even if there was someone who was like, you know, on the surface squeaky clean, like Paris Hilton, there were still all these pictures you'd see of her like out partying with Nicole. And
well, there was the photo of her with the crack pipe and like the
oh
sex
my
tape
God.
And all that.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah,
think
yeah.
she was ever squeaky clean.
Well, like, I mean, veneer-wise, she looked like the all-American girl. That was the whole intrigue about Paris Hilton, was that she looked like the all-American girl. She was from this like dynasty family.
Well, I think the intrigue was that she didn't because
yeah, yeah.
she was like so, like she dressed so provocatively, tiny little clothes.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like flaunting her wealth with like the big bags and whatever.
I just feel like that now, when I think of like, say, the Hadids or like the Jenners or any of the kind of modern day boring, dare I say, you know, like it girls now, it's like, I feel like, I don't know whether it's they have way more control over their image or just that the image that you're expected to be now, like, and it's good, it's both good and bad, I guess, because like, I think that like the paparazzi's role in like those it gals of the early 2000s probably also, you know, enabled them to be more chaotic because it got them more fame, you know, that way. But I think that like with the Jenners and the Hadids and stuff, you know, it's like, that's where it's so different in the sense that like they're way expected to be way more like, completely controversy free.
I think what honestly, sorry, I'm coming out with something so serious. I think what really did change that whole like kind of fascination and like, you know, putting out their kind of, you know, bad behavior to the forefront and not being so kind of hidden with it, because it was very much hidden in plain sight. If you think of like, yes, Mary-Kate never came out saying I did this. Same with Paris Hilton, didn't really get into like what
and
she was on.
Nicole Richie as well, she never was like, I have an eating disorder, even though she like wasted,
oh, she denied
wasted
it
away.
To the ground. Just and I remember like even Peaches Geldof, who we now know
died
from heroin. I remember seeing on TV her being like, she dropped a serious amount of weight because she was on heroin, but she was talking about doing a juice diet, and it was all these fad diets.
Gluten-free. I remember you said it to me once.
Oh, really?
One of the first times I came to your house, you were like, I'm going gluten-free. Peaches Galloff said that's why she got so skinny.
Way.
Oh, and it was like, oh no.
Just God, imagine if she did come out saying she did heroin. You came over, I'm like, start just shooting up. Peaches Galloff. Well, a fair amount of weight.
The Geldoffs, another iconic
Pixie Geldoff is pregnant.
Oh, delighted.
Love her.
Delighted.
Love a bit of Pixie Geldoff. Love her whole style.
They were like the English kind of cool girls.
Yeah, like wearing
girls.
Leather. But
another famous offspring. A lot of famous offspring, you know?
Yeah, and you didn't really know what they were. It's like, are you a model? You're modeling from Yumi 1 minute, then you're like, you know, acting randomly, presenting like Peaches Geldoff presented some shit for TV3 UTV. But yeah, I think very much what changed that whole like idealization of like drugs and that life was Kate Moss when she got the front cover of every paper for being caught snorting lines in Baby Shambles' studio. I think that was because she was dropped from so many things. And I think it was like Kate Moss was very much publicly going out with a known heroin addict. Mm-hmm. However, seeing the reality and like, I don't know what, like everyone, like, what do you think she's doing with Pete Doherty, you know, while he's off?
But was that not like before a lot of this also happened?
No, it was around the same time.
2006, no?
That would have been 2008, I think, when that came to the forefront.
Was it? God, I thought I was only in fourth year.
2008, I'd say, because 2007 was when they were like going out. But, you know, and I think then we also saw Amy Winehouse video.
2005. Yeah. So I think that was amidst the kind of like within the center of the storm of like bad girl, good girl gone bad. I think that was like a juicy storyline then because.
But she was dropped from a lot of things and it took her a good while.
Yeah, she was dropped, but I remember she ended up going out with Pete Doherty for years after, and she on the surface, it was like, Kate Moss doesn't give a fuck anymore. She's hanging out with rock stars. Like, you know, because if you think of like Paris, Nicole, all that, that's 2007, 2008. It was still celebrated in the media, you know, that way, that kind of like chaotic partying. I think it was social media changed a lot of it. Because I think that that's when celebrities ended up getting like taking their own image into their own hands. They didn't rely on the paparazzi anymore to like portray them in a certain way.
I'd say they got better at hiding it.
No, that's what I mean.
But which is strange because what I find weird is now that like everyone has phones, like when we look at Kate Moss and no one knew who like took the video or whatever of Kate Moss and saying, and like obviously I think it kind of from. Okay, if we think about it, if you are a celeb, imagine you're a celeb, you're Kate Moss, and like obviously she was in this studio and got like caught out, and like there must have only been like what 6 to 7 people in the studio, so they were probably able to pinpoint who was right beside her and taking that video.
Yeah, I'm sure she knows who exactly it is.
And like, we saw the same with Peaches Geldoff had one where randomly on a blog came out this story of this guy she'd hooked up after scoring heroin, around the time of Cobra Snake era. She would have been on that website. And
For sure.
And then we saw Amy Winehouse as well. She was caught out with smoking a crack pipe next to her wedding picture. So these things were coming out. So I think you hear of celebrities with this like no phone parties where people who come into the parties are like searched and everything's like.
See, Lil Nas had one. He's in some hot water.
Oh, really?
Lil Nas had a TikToker party and he was like, no phones. And obviously, like, you know, COVID, not exactly the smartest idea.
Oh.
So. He's in a lot of hot water.
He is having a day. He really is.
He's still in hell.
But But he. But yeah, I think we saw that they just were able to monitor and understand, because I guess when that was happening with, you know, Paris Hilton, it was very new. They weren't able to monitor it. But now,
I think it was like the new celebrity as well. Like as you said, they were going out as if they were regular people to the club with normal people. But I feel like because that whole new type of celebrity birthed, then they kind of realize, oh shit, we can't, like, if we want to get away with like being bad girls or drugs or all that, we have to now bring it into like do probably how all the normal celebrities do, which is just in their own gaff with no phones and all their friends, you know.
Well,
that way,
just more like, you know, even like the clubs would probably like leaned into that kind of thing, like, you know, with Bergheim, like where you're able to go and like your phones are locked away. Because like I remember there was Love Island stars and they were in a bathroom, I can't remember who it was, doing whatever in the bathroom, and like people were over the cubicle. Can't remember who it was, but they were holding like some paraphernalia.
Paraphernalia, dare I say?
You know, so it's kind of, I think they were just like, okay. because like you, the bigger celebs now, like Gigi, Bella, Kim Kardashian, you'd be never seeing them.
No, never, ever. And I think like, yeah, I'd wonder. I think they're just more protected as well in a way.
Yeah. And they kind of died. Like remember in the Britney documentary, we were seeing like all that kind of like paparazzis with underskirt photographs and like, you know, dying to get that shot of them disheveled, falling out of a pub or a club. That kind of doesn't exist anymore. You don't really see Bella Hadid falling out anywhere.
And I'm interested to where is the future of the It Girl? Not It Girls. We all know where that's going, huns. Yeah. But I'm interested to see like where that's going. And like, I can see the benefits and I can see the negative aspects of both. Because I think that like, although like, yeah, maybe like dangerous or like bad girl behavior shouldn't be glorified in the press for young teenagers to consume and try emulate. But also like, I think when you're older, you can kind of learn from it or look at it in a, oh my God, that was really chaotic. But now it's like, while young girls are kind of being presented as like these aspirational people are like the Kendall Jenners. And it's like, I mean, what? Like, here's my new tequila. You know, that way it's like, it's so contrived and so much more contrived. At least there was some weird reality behind the camera lens then. But then also, you know, there was a huge question around like it being taken advantage of by the paparazzi to like, you know, and being extorted basically.
Yeah, and ruining lives.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, we still see we can still see how it trickled down, the glorification of like getting drunk and stuff from like, I hate those YouTube videos that like the Jenners and the Kardashians do where it's like, Kylie and Khloe get drunk on tequila while doing each other's makeup. Yeah, like, it's like, shut up. And they're like, you're doing another shot, Kylie. You're
and she's
fucking,
like, we're getting wet.
Oh, it's so like cringe.
So it's basically,
I can just imagine them like leaving the set and getting their stomach pumped instantly,
or
and then
just
like
being apple juice,
oxygen. Yeah, but like I can imagine like they're not actually dealing with a hangover.
No,
they're like,
they're IV
to fuck. Yeah, an oxygen tank.
Like, yeah, like I think it's just the same thing wrapped up in a different bow. You know, the way I think we have some people might think it's better because it's like we're not showing this and that anymore, but it's like, that shit's still going on, but you're wrapping up something else equally as, you know, unattainable.
And the surgery, like, I mean, we obviously saw, like, there was a certain body type with the It Gal, which was like, you know, we saw it with, like, Misha Barton.
Oh my God, yeah.
Paris Hilton, Kimberly Stewart all had this, like, really long torso. The longest torso. Same with Britney. Like, remember Britney, I think it was at the, what's that? It was around the time of her movie Crossroads. Mm-hmm. What was the song associated?
I'm not a girl,
not yet a woman.
I remember she wore the lowest ever cut pair of jeans.
And it was like, her vagina is like a millimeter. How does that work?
Oh my God, parallel. The Kendall Jenner vagina in the Skims.
Oh yeah.
The Britney vagina in the pants. Like, and I think also, do you know what I was thinking there, Lindsay, when you said that? Because we were talking about it last night too. Like their torsos, as we said, so long and like tubular almost.
Never ending torso.
But I wonder, is that also, wow, I'm getting deep here, guys.
Oh my God.
Is it because now the body type is so overtly hourglass that we're used to these cinched waists? Like, because when I think of it, like, I mean, I don't know anyone with waist like that. Britney didn't have this, like, Britney was in whopper neck and did not have this, like, in waist. Neither Christina, who was, like, curvier or more, you know, so now it's like we have this Jenner or Kardashian kind of body type, which is, like, as you said, like, it's another parallel. Yeah, all these It girls back then were getting eating disorders to be so skinny, but now they're all just getting, like, they're just taking out their body dysmorphia in different ways by getting, like, insane surgeries, you know? Even, totally. Like, the Hadids, like, they're the natural ones when it's like, what the fuck? Or do you ever see those Simi Hayes girls? What they look like before?
Who?
You know, Simi Hayes. They're like, I think they're as far as I know, Gigi and Bella's dad's other daughters.
Okay.
And they're like, if you see their before and after, it's insane.
Weird.
Like, absolutely batshit crazy insane. It's actually like the power of surgery insane. And they're just bopping around looking like two Bella Hadids, like,
so freaky.
I know. So crazy. So, but like, you know, because it's not as almost like overtly like, and I don't mean the word like in an aesthetic way, but like repulsive as in like when you see someone obviously struggling with like an eating disorder, it's a very real reaction.
Someone is quite skeletal. It's like you can't it's a help. Look,
it's just a human reaction in you to be like, oh, they're very sick. You know that way.
Care for sure. And be worried.
Yeah, because like, it's like they look like they're fragile and they're going to break. Yeah. You know, and it can be very, very shocking. So even because like now, the reality of how they actually express like body dysmorphia from the stuff is like aesthetically pleasing. We just ignore it. We're like, oh. She looks brilliant. Sign me up. Give me her surgeon's name. It's like, yeah, that's so crazy.
It is. It is crazy. And I remember like when you're looking back at those tubular bodies, like my sister, Sarah had that.
New body type, tubular body. And now Sarah has the fucking hourglass.
Oh, I know, fucking bitch. Cunt. But she, when she was like, you know, 14 or 15, when the OC first came out and kind of like put Misha Barton on the forefront, and like Misha Barton had those like that little body, and like I think one person said, you kind of look like your one from the OC. She ran with that.
There was always one bitch who was told they looked like Misha Barton from the OC.
And she ran with it. And she, again, mental health props,
Misha. Yeah. Yes,
she really struggled to kind of find herself, I think, post the OC and stuff. And her body obviously changed as she grew up, and like she was ridiculed in the media. It's very sad.
Very sad.
But yeah, totally hair. What you said.
Summer.
Hair.
The OC. Good God, what a show.
Oh.
All of it's on the RT player.
Real, it's so good. I only rewatched it a couple of years ago, and dear God, I enjoyed every minute. But it is so true, to leave in a wholesome note, what you said about like there is a clear price to pay with these things.
Yeah.
You know? And we will probably be seeing it in the future with the influencer. Me and you. Yeah.
No, but with the influencer, 100%. Because realistically, that is where the new It Girl is, right? The new It Girl is, even if you want to disregard the like famous like Jenners and all, now it's even closer. You know, if we had the Jenners who were like the Parises and Nicoles, we have the influencers who are the Alexis Nyers and the, you know, the...
And they're all striving for something. Like, you know, it doesn't matter the wealth or your body type. You're all, it comes from somewhere. Like we looked at like I think the likes of It Gals and, you know, child stars with ease, like, oh, they just have this easy life. They're so, like, you know, what we saw was like Paris Hilton bopping around, like, you know, her tiny body, her clothes and her little dog. And what we saw with Two of a Kind was like their cute show. But the reality was that like they had to maintain a standard that was like put on them by the press and by their own kind of to maintain this notoriety or whatever. So
faux shizzle. To end it off very. On a very 2000s saying, faux shizzle. So go to our Instagram, because we'll probably put up like a little, I think maybe we could do some like fun little polls, this or that, It Girls.
Yes, I love doing those.
Me too. I was like, this, bad. I can't believe no one else said
I can't believe everyone liked that other outfit.
So we'll do some fun polls, which might bring you down memory lane and give you some, like, if you don't know any of the It Girls we're talking about here, it might give you a bit of a visual stimulation.
Yeah. And I think in the future, we will also let you know if we're going to do a deep dive in any of the shows that we mentioned, like Pretty Wild or the Ashley Simpson show. And if we can find where you can look at them, we will let you know, so we can, like, it's like book club, but for reality shows.
I think we should do maybe on our first live stream a little clip review. We can find some famous clips and look at them and introduce them to the world of these crazy niche shows. But girls, until next time, sign up to X Girls and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.